can make it, do it, makes us honor, better, faster, stronger.
Obanai in the shotgun with Wheaton, takes the snap, rolls near side right, throws, it's caught! Touchdown, Greg Little, and the Browns lead!
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily. Driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Here's Wheat, play action fake, looking, throwing, wide open, touchdown, it's Obanaya!
And now, here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagura.
Happy Halloween, everybody. Nathan Zagura, Vic Carucci, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, 3 days away from the Browns, hopefully spooking the Ravens right out of Cleveland, taking care of business for the first time in a while on their home field against this Ravens team. We have a big show lined up for you today. We want to hear from you, obviously, 216-578-0850, and of course on Twitter, at Browns_daily. You can growl at us over there. We have got the roundtable brought to you by Sam and Dave's with the Jim Donovan, the voice of the Cleveland Browns, and Doug Deacon from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network at 1:15. We'll go inside the locker room with TJ Ward, a member of Pete Prisco's midseason All-Pro team. Brian Baldinger singled him out as the best player on the Browns defense right now, so we'll see what he has to say at around 1:50. And then the Ravens radio analyst Stan White joins us in hour number 2:30 to give a Ravens perspective. Boo! And then Gerard Sherry at 2:45 for his usual call. We're also going to hear from some players, the coordinators, and you know, as I was coming in here looking at the notes from today, Ray Horton made a couple of good comments, and hopefully we'll hear some of those later on, but that he feels at halftime at Kansas City, or he's hopeful that that's the turning point for this defense because he felt like that was the best adjustments they've made, and he saw something different from the team.
Yeah, and I think the biggest adjustment was mental. I think it was an emotional tie-in thing that they figured out that they weren't playing not only smart enough in the first half, but hard enough. And I think there was a legitimate case to be made for more passion, more emotion. And I think between Ray Horton and Rob Chudzinski, that message got through to those players. It changed the way they played in the second half. So we talk a lot about halftime adjustments, and it was a favorite topic of that Detroit game. The
sure.
feeling was that Detroit made all the right adjustments and the Browns did nothing in the second half. Maybe that is what happened, but certainly from that point on, halftime adjustments has been a big topic of this Browns team, and I think it's fair to say that in Kansas City, there could have been some sort of turning point at halftime for the second half of that ball game, and we'll see how that all plays out. But you mentioned the Ravens and the problems that they have. Stan White will join us. He's an Ohio guy, former Ohio State linebacker, really a fan as he grew up, a fan of the Browns, but his loyalties are obviously tied to that Ravens team that he's been a part of their broadcast team for a long time. Great guy. Always look forward to his analysis, but he's going to help break down what's wrong with that Ravens team, and there's a lot wrong with it. And again, we spent a lot of time figuring out the issues with the Browns, especially in the course of a three-game losing streak. I think the Ravens actually have more issues. I really do.
They definitely do right now. I think that their defense, they're two in many ways similar teams right now. They're two teams that are very defensively oriented. There are two teams that have, you know, a dominant number one wide receiver. The Browns have an advantage by also having Jordan Cameron, I think, as a secondary option. And the Ravens, obviously, a little bit better running the football, although they haven't been statistically. They are with Ray Rice and Bernard Pierce. They should be when they are getting it going. So they are similar teams. And yes, I think the Ravens do have some issues. This is a team that's lost three out of their last four games in very close fashion. That psychologically weighs on a team. And they're going back. They're trying to figure it out. It's almost you get a sense of maybe some panic coming from John Harbaugh and company in Baltimore right now. So
that's
a team that is looking to get things fixed. The Browns, a team in very much the same boat coming off of three losses. But I think they have a different feel right now than the Ravens, and hopefully that positivity and that momentum carries into Sunday.
And once and for all, I want to see the Browns actually play a full game. I'm tired of talking about halves and half times. I'm
full
really
game.
Tired of it because we're putting so much time and attention on what they did in the second half of that Chiefs game and building something from it. And I understand that. It's a great talking point. But we were having lunch today and I was talking with a few other people from the sales side, and they were asking me, you know, okay, take the temperature. How do you feel about this week? How did you feel about that last game? And we focused a lot on the second half. And I said, oddly enough, and we were discussing this on the show, in the midst of a three-game losing streak, I'm feeling good about the Browns' chances. Not only Sunday against the Ravens, I like the outlook for the second half of the season. And I feel part of me is taking a real leap of faith with this. Most of this leap is coming from that second half. Obviously, a lot of it is Jason Campbell. But I'm really tired. I don't want us to talk about a part of a game any longer, because I've been through these discussions before about teams over the years. And Nathan, they're always affiliated with losing teams.
No question.
It's always the reason you point to when a team doesn't get it done.
No question. That's exactly right. Because if you're playing a full 60-minute game, you want to come out on – if you're positive about what you saw, we're able to see in 30 minutes. If they do that for 60, they're going to win. So, yeah, I agree with you. That is a conversation for a team that is struggling. And right now the Browns are. They've lost three in a row. They have not played a full game in three straight. And they need to rectify that. Again, we've said it. They have won at least one half in 7 of the 8 games this year. You got to win two halves, and that's how you win in the NFL.
And when you're not winning a half of a game, when you go through, I mean, sometimes you go through an entire game and just, okay, and it's Green Bay, for instance. But if you're losing these halves, as this team has steadily done or mostly done through this 3-5 start, it speaks to a lack of maturity, probably a lack of focus is the easy way to put it. But I'm going to say you're just not grown up enough as a team to understand what it takes. And you need to be reminded of it. You need to talk about it. And when you're talking about it, it's too late. When you're having meetings about it, it's too late. I appreciate the job of Rob Jedzinski as a head coach. He has to address this as a coach. His staff has to reinforce it. He's used the word focus about the slow starts and such. But the onus is on him as a coach. This is really what's going to define, I think, his first season as a head coach, Nathan, is what happens through these final 8 games with this particular issue in mind, how they handle a full effort top to bottom as a football team, because they have a chance to do something here. The schedule is giving them an opportunity. The quarterback change is giving them an opportunity. They're getting enough playmaking skill. When you can say you've got a couple of dynamic playmakers on offense, that's two more than a lot of teams have,
right?
In Josh Gordon and Jordan Cameron. We know what the weaknesses are. We know where they have to get better. But we're seeing improvement in some places. We've talked a lot about T.J. Ward's improvement at safety, the overall safety play with Tashawn Gibson. We'll hear from Ward today, so that's a plus. We know what this defense can do. Really, the excuses to not do something substantial through this final half of the season are pretty limited.
I would agree with that. And you know, while you were talking just then, it struck me that Willis McGahee has an opportunity, I think, to do something very valuable for this team, probably more off the field than on it at this stage in his career. But I was struck by his comments about Josh Gordon a few weeks ago when he said it took him about 4 or 5 years, I believe he said, to figure out what it meant to truly be a pro in the National Football League. And this is a very young team, the Cleveland Browns. They're a young team. To get a veteran like Willis McGahee in here can hopefully help accelerate that process for everybody else, so we can say, don't do the things I did. Let me show you the right way to be a pro, because that's what it is. When this team can figure that out, and you talked about maybe it's a lack of experience, maturity, and figure that out, it can be a galvanizing thing. And with the schedule shaping up to be as favorable as you pointed out that it is over the next 8 games, the second half of the season, you'd like to see that take place and transpire, and I think it will. I really do. And I think that's one of the reasons why I like that Willis McGahee signing so much. This is a guy who, at a position that historically chews players up and spits players out, has been able to stay in the league for as long as he has, and he's back. And I think he knows and relishes that role of being a little bit of a mentor, and I think it can be very valuable for this team.
You're going to watch the Thursday night game tonight, right?
Of course.
Right. Cincinnati football. Bengals taking on. Well, it's football, but it's the Bengals. They're taking on the Dolphins. So we definitely want to have. We got a rooting interest tonight. Want to see the Dolphins try to do what looks pretty difficult to beat the Bengals. But I'm a little ticked off right now. I just saw something. I didn't even have Italian food today at lunch because they weren't serving it.
People
Italian.
Wanted you to have Italian food today. There were a couple of tweets about that.
Our buddy Paul Myers on Twitter. So, Paul, I didn't, but I am fired up. Maybe it was the pulled pork, the Hawaiian version.
Hawaiian.
Yeah. Luau pulled pork is the best.
It is.
I mean, I enjoy it. It's not for everybody, but I liked it. Anyway, because Megan's shaking her head.
Megan
Rock
like
here, who is helping us out, in our assistant here in studio, we were talking about lunch, and she gave it a thumbs down today. It didn't do it for her.
Wow.
But Andy Dalton being named AFC Offensive Player of the Month, that bugged me. That really bugged me. And I'll tell you why. And I'm not
Please tell me why.
I'm not trying to take something away from a guy who's
He's got 1,034 yards.
4-0 record, 116.8 passer rating. I know the numbers that will support this. Right, 1,246, 11 touchdowns, and only the three interceptions. I'm ticked off because he's not the guy that should be, in my mind, winning that kind of an honor with regard to his level of quarterback play. Or let's put it this way. He's a guy who we've always sort of seen as a marginal player at quarterback. Not necessarily he's great. We didn't put him I know he's not in any of your top categories as a quarterback, but he's right. But he did something special in the stretch. Where I'm going with this is you look at the Browns and where they are, you look at the Bengals and where they are. You see the Browns beat the Bengals once. You feel that they can definitely compete, be on the same field with them, obviously, and not just because of that game. And, yeah, I know they blew up offensively against the Jets last week, the Bengals did. But I don't see Dalton as being so good and to be in that category that's something that the Browns couldn't get from their quarterback. For right now, from Jason Campbell, and maybe it was Brian Hoyer. We'll assume Brandon Whedon was not going to go to that place, but we can certainly see why are we encouraged. Why do we feel good about the Browns right now? We feel good because Jason Campbell is largely because he's at quarterback and it looks like it's going to be more competent. What has Andy Dalton really been for this playoff consistent football team? He's been competent. He's not great, but look where you can go from competence to player of the month.
He's a guy who though for his career has been streaky and he's had, he has had some stretches. He's very streaky. And right now he is in a hot streak. The last three games, 1,034 yards, 11 touchdowns, only two interceptions. So he's hot right now. He's got AJ Green. We've got Josh Gordon. Other than that, who scares you on that team? Really nobody. Does have an air back in Giovanni Bernard. They have the good two tight ends.
But he doesn't scare you.
Tyler Eifert
doesn't scare you.
No, he's attempting to become the first Bengals quarterback in history to throw for more than 300 yards and two touchdowns in four straight games in this game this week. So, yes, I don't know that it angers me. I kind of tip my cap to him, and I say, you know what, Browns, the game before he had that great stretch, he was held to 206 yards, no touchdowns, and one interception by this defense. So this defense should feel confident that they can stop anybody, given what they've seen Andy Dalton go on to do since then. But you got to tip your cap to him. But again, right, you're right. He's not one of the guys.
I'm gonna hold a grudge.
He'll hold a grudge against him.
Because I'm putting it in Browns terms, and I believe it's frustrating to me that. I am thinking some of this about the what might have been, because couldn't you have seen Brian Hoyer be in this position, the way it was rolling for him, that he could have. He might not have put up spectacular numbers, but he was playing at a level that was just, it was that good enough level that I wrote about earlier this week for ClevelandBrowns.com in reference mostly to Jason Campbell, but it was the same idea. And I think Dalton has been good enough, and then, like you say, streaky, gets on a hot streak, but He nothing special. Maybe he's changing it now. Maybe this is his career turning point. I'm not buying it, though.
Don't forget that the entire investment made by the Cincinnati Bengals this offseason was to give him the weapons and the supporting cast to be able to do this. Right. They got Giovanni Bernard. They got Tyler Eifert, a mismatch joker tight end.
True.
They gave him the weapons and said, we know your limitations. Let's give you more short area targets that you can work with. Marvin Jones starting to play more. And that's what we're hoping the Browns are going to do this offseason. They made a huge investment in the defense, and you're seeing the rewards from in the defense.
Yes.
You want to see a similar investment this offseason, at least I do, in the offense, to give whoever it is the quarterback, the weapons to get hot like this and to go on a streak. It is not, I think the point ultimately you're trying to make is this type of production should not be that far away from what the Browns are capable of. And I believe that it will be once the pieces are in place to do so. And that's going to take a little bit of quarterback and also a little bit of investment at that kind of air back, which was supposed to be Deion Lewis, by the way.
Yeah.
bringing in another wide receiver to complement Josh Gordon and, you know, getting Devon Best back to playing at the level he could play at, maybe adding a second tight end to do some of those two tight end passing formations. But the bottom line is, you're right, Andy Dalton, nobody wakes up if they're watching, their team's got the ahead by six and Andy Dalton's got the ball and they're down, you know, up 6 points. You're not shivering. This is not right. And the fact that he's doing this, impressive. But yes, the Browns are going to have a streak like this. It's going to come soon. And hopefully it comes when, you know, they do make a little bit of an investment in that offensive side of the ball and the playmakers. When we return here on Cleveland Browns Daily, we'll be joined by the voice of the Browns, Jim Donovan, and Doug Deacon, both from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network, for a little roundtable action brought to you by Sam and Dave's and the main event, Lobster Celebration. Delicious.
Get the lobster.